Hi, everyone, and welcome to For the Road Forward, brought to you by Auto Trader and Kelley Blue Book. I'm your host, Jade Terriberry, Senior Director of Strategic Planning at Cox Automotive. And it is that time for another relevant and timely conversation with one of my favorite industry leaders to cover the automotive trends and hot topics that should be on every modern dealer's or OEM's radar like yours for a smoother and more successful road forward. So today, I am joined by Eric DeMont, Vice President at Urban Science. And Eric is not only an esteemed friend of mine in the industry, but he's known for being ahead of the curve and being an expert in helping turn data into actionable insights that help dealers and manufacturers alike thrive. And so I've asked Eric on today. We're going to dig into some of his predictions for the coming year, what he believes the industry and dealers should be prioritizing, and new ways that data can be a true superpower. So welcome to For the Road Forward, Eric.
Thanks, Jade. Thanks for the warm introduction.
You bet. And I'm surprised that we haven't had you on before, because we have spent years together talking about data in this industry. And it is so exciting as technology evolves to see the things that you and your Urban Science team are doing and to see how the industry is really starting to open their eyes to how complex the consumer journey is and all of the data and tech out there that exists that now gives them the ability to start using that data to decision make and grow the success within their businesses. So first, I want to kick things off by having you share just a little bit about Urban Science for our listeners. Walk us through the journey, where you've been, how Urban Science has evolved, and what that path has looked like.
You mentioned you were surprised that we haven't been on before. And until recently, I feel like within the dealer circles, Urban Science was one of the best kept secrets out there.
Yeah.
For 40 years, we've been working with OEMs to support their network planning departments, to support the measurement of performance of dealerships, and even assisting with lead management and fixed ops. But it wasn't until recently that we started working directly with dealers, and in particular within the lead space with dealers, and using our industry-only, industry-exclusive, Neil real-time, comprehensive sale, new vehicle and CPO sales database. And you know, that's kind of where I would say, starting 10 years ago, when we started to leverage that capability, that things started changing, and we started working with agencies directly. We started working with dealers directly. And that's when I've entered the equation as well, to basically create a new business channel for Urban Science, by which we can not only help the OEMs like we've done in the past, but a whole new set of clients that, frankly, are just as innovative and maybe even more so, certainly more entrepreneurial, and have allowed us to find out new ways to deploy our data insights to help them sell more cars.
Yeah. And that dealer body is also, in many cases, more nimble and agile. They can move a little faster. They can pivot and decision make and make changes within their business faster than manufacturers. But talking about speed, you and I have recently talked about how hard it is within our businesses to prioritize based on all of the changes and disruptions that are happening in the industry. And that is ongoing, and it's only going to continue. So what are the biggest challenges that you see for dealers, manufacturers, lenders, and partners of ours are facing today? And then how would you recommend that they focus on what really matters in all of these times to get a leg up on the competition?
It's a web of different players and partners that are out there. And you know, when I look at my background, I spent the first 10 years of my career in consulting, mostly in retail and automotive. Then I spent 10 years on the agency side, and I've been at Urban Science now for about a decade. So I started when I was 10, you managed to put in 30 years so far, but I have a nice, I think, well-rounded perspective on all of the different silos at times, but also different functions within the automotive retail landscape. What I've seen that's consistent across all of them is that change is hard, especially when you're talking about change fueled by complex data, complex technology, and a very quickly changing environment. Change takes dedication, change takes perseverance, change takes active involvement. And while principals and general managers, I think, have that's probably part of their DNA, they have stores of tens and hundreds of people that may not be part of their DNA. And to change even a dealership is not easy. It's not churning the Titanic, but it certainly is a labor of love. And the dealers that are succeeding the most are ones that are committed to change and utilizing all those new capabilities to further improve their stores and serve their customers better.
And not being afraid to move forward. We often say, keep your running shoes on, plan your work and work your plan. But it has to be cultural. And you have to get dealership staff bought in from the ground up for any of these incredible things to work. And, you know, it wouldn't be the end of a year and the start of a new year without us introducing our acronym for the year to come. And so my acronym for 2026 for our dealers and manufacturers alike is ROAD, right in line with the theme of the podcast for the road forward. But it is ROI is the metric that matters. And so I'm going to ask you on each of these to give us just a little bit of advice, how you and Urban Science are using data and how clients should be thinking about this. But I'll give you a quick preview. ROI, the metric that matters. O is omnichannel everything, not just how we've talked about the consumer journey being omnichannel, but from appraisal to consumer acquisition to attribution to measurement to everything that we are doing. We have got to start thinking full omnichannel and influence across the board. A is AI adoption and application, and then D is database decision making, which of course is right up your alley. So I want to start with the R, ROI being the metric that matters, which means understanding all of the things that are influencing profit for the dealership. A sale or an RO, some kind of profit, variable ops or fixed ops. What is your advice or what are your thoughts on ROI being the metric that matters and how to allocate spend accordingly?
Well, if we added up all the ROI that our partners tell us that we're receiving, we would be in a market of 40 or 50 million sales. So obviously that's not the case. And I think what we need to do is make sure that we're aligning our gut along with our metrics. And it's the interpretation of the ROI that I think is really important. And our dealer friends are savvy business people. They have a great command of their store. They know what's going on. And they have to use that context in which to evaluate the ROI that they're either calculating or that's being shared with them from across their vendor and their ecosystem to really make sure that the ROI that's being reported is attributable to the things that they say that it is. Because, you know, it is a multifaceted, multivariate world out there. And to be able to account for everything is almost impossible. Let's say it's very hard. And so again, it's the art and science of ROI that I think is important, and that we interpret the ROI appropriately, and that we lean into the ones that we not only make logical sense, but also the ones that feel right for our stores as well.
Yeah, well said. Use that weighted engagement formula to understand and allocate influence across all of the things that are driving real profit for our organizations. It is never going to be a one-to-one ROI match, which is why that weighted engagement formula is so important across the 62 to 250 touch points that every consumer is taking between click and close. So next on to omnichannel everything. What does omnichannel mean to you and how should clients be thinking about it?
I'm going to take a little bit of a pivot here in that omnichannel can not only mean various forms of marketing communications, but if we expand it to say, hey, it's the entire customer journey, some of that customer journey actually is in store while other parts of it are online. So I think we need to look at things from an omnichannel perspective of how we deliver a holistic experience, integrated experience, seamless experience between both the digital, virtual, and the real world, and how consumers interact with the stores throughout that process. At Urban Science, we have solutions that not only help inform what's happening on the marketing side, but also operationally at the sales desk. And being able to use harmonized data in both marketing and sales ops type decisions, I think makes it, let's call it an apples to apples measurement, to kind of coin a phrase here. It's using the similar measures and metrics across those different omnichannel touch points, again, whether they be in person or virtual, to identify opportunities or where you can improve performance.
Yeah, love that. Omnichannel everything, meeting the consumer where they are, giving the ability to start, stop, do as much or as little, online, offline, in store, back at home, and to pick up exactly where they left off to continue to give them that relevant experience to get one step closer to their end goal. Next is AI, adoption and application. Give us a bit of intelligence and wisdom on AI.
I'm not alone in this prognostication, that's for sure. Everyone's making prognostications about it right now. I'm going to pair what I hear in the industry, what I hear from our dealers, is that it is, not to brand anything, but it certainly is a co-pilot. It is not something you turn over the keys of the kingdom to. We're not firing salespeople. We're not getting rid of BDC centers, but we're thinking about how technology can make those resources more successful. How do we spend less time with high funnel leads who are just starting to engage in their shopping process, and more time when they actually have questions, they're matching their needs to the vehicle specifications, where they really value sales and BDC time. Let's make sure they have warm handoffs between the AI that's handling our upper funnel leads and then our sales teams that are meeting their customers when it matters, at the right time, with that personal touch, bringing them into the store and having those conversations. So I would say that it's a co-pilot. It's additive. It should be integrated into what we do. It's not a replacement for things that we do.
Fully agree. AI is for finding those efficiencies to do more with the same and to create more relevant consumer experiences with what you have today. And obviously, again, drive more effectiveness and profitability. And then last, which is one thing that both Cox Automotive and Urban Science are known for, which is data-based decision making. Data is our superpower across Cox Automotive, as it is at Urban Science. So share some examples, Eric, of how you're helping dealers get better visibility into things like lead working, lead conversion, and even lead defection.
So I think we have almost 1,200 dealers in common that we work with on a daily basis. And the most striking thing about those 1,200 dealers is that until they started working with us, while they knew that their close rates were 12%, what they didn't know is that their defection rate, the rate of leads that have folks that are shoppers that raised their hand, submitted a lead, but then purchased another store, over the last 90 days, I just looked at this the other day, it's 20.8%. And so by working together, we're able to expose metrics, and it's not necessarily ROI, but it can lead to ROI, but expose metrics that dealers hadn't had insight to before. Now, the metric is interesting in and of itself, but then where it gets interesting and where change comes in and where all these omnichannel executions come in is, how do we then start to develop insights from this data? For instance, the close rate for in-person leads, showroom leads, is like 25%. One of our best performing lead source. When they come to the store, they're ready to buy. Great metric. We celebrate it all the time. But did you note that 20% of those leads too also defect? When we share those numbers with principals, they're like, oh my gosh, my marketing team's telling me that we need to spend more money to buy more leads. When in essence, what we could do is, how do we become more effective in our showroom processes so that we don't have to buy as many? But then where do we become more effective? And when we start thinking about that is, all right, when they came into the store, which salesperson did we assign to them? Are certain salespeople more effective on certain models than others? There's a whole bunch of questions that we can start to ask to identify where our process breakdowns are, where our communications breakdowns are, and when we find them, then the work begins, because now we have to train differently. We have to incentivize differently. We have to evaluate differently. And we can't do that one time, not two times. It's now part of an overall process that we're incorporating into our philosophy, our mantra, how we act and operate at the store. So data in and of itself, there is so much data out there. It's the selection of both, you know, using both art and science to identify those key measures and metrics that we want to use, and then fully understand them and lean into them, update our processes, and understand that patience is bitter, but its fruit is sweet. And so at the end of the day, what we've seen is dealers that continue to use our solutions see 2 or 3x ROI on our solutions. When we've been talking about ROI, 2 or 3x ROI. If they use it daily, it's easy to buy a new solution. It's hard to use it. Stick with it. When you invest in your people to help them use it, that's where the rewards really start to be realized.
Now, dealers who use data as part of their daily operating control win again and again and again, and that is not going to change. And you know, and I'm glad that you shared that some of those defection insights, because I am so excited as we start to think about how we integrate that more deeply into consumer records, into our CRM reporting for salesperson coaching and training and optimization across the dealership. So, Eric, as we look ahead, I'm going to ask you my favorite question to end an episode with any of our guests, which is, what is your number one piece of advice for dealers and manufacturers who want to close out the year and kick off 2026 with a bang?
Invest in your people. A car is, almost everyone needs a car. Almost no one needs a high-end car. Yet the average price point, average sales point, is the highest it's ever been. So when you have a want as opposed to a need from an economic standpoint, it becomes a people business. And yes, we can use technology, we can use data, we can engage via omni-channel activities, but at the end of the day, a car is an in-person shopping and buying experience. Invest in your people, because they're the ones that are touching and communicating with your shoppers and your customers and your owners. And look for partners and vendors like Cox and Urban Science that are willing and able to help dealers train their teams, upskill their resources, and put them in the best position possible to engage with the consumers that are really the lifeblood of our industry.
So well said. This is a people business, and I believe it will always be. No matter how many steps of the sale we give consumers the ability to do online, there is always going to be that connection with people. People buy because they like you, trust you, like your service, like your product, like your company. And it is generally and almost always in that order, which means they like you and they trust you, which is a people thing. So, Eric, great advice. I cannot thank you enough for joining me today. We are in an era of educating on new ways and new capabilities, all with the goal of driving more ROI and protecting both our team's time and spend. And so I look forward to continuing this conversation, and encourage everyone listening to check out Eric and connect with him on LinkedIn. He's an industry leader, and we are grateful for you sharing your incredible insights and recommendations with all of our viewers and listeners today, Eric.
Thank you so much, Jade.
And that wraps us up. I want to extend a huge thank you also to all of you for watching or listening to this episode of For the Road Forward. And whether you're listening on your favorite streaming platform such as Spotify or Apple, or watching on our Auto Trader homepage, we sure are glad that you are here. And if you want to be an exclusive subscriber, where you'll be the first to hear when new episodes like this release, as well as receive subscriber-only bonuses throughout the year, go to b2b.autotrader.com/fortheroadforward. And we have even more bonuses coming in the new year, as well as a few surprises that you sure don't want to miss. I'm your host, Jade Terriberry, and I want to thank you for joining us for The Road Forward. Be sure to tune in next week as we'll continue the open conversations with industry leaders, champions, and disruptors on what they're currently seeing, doing, and forecasting is coming next on the road ahead for all of us in the automotive industry. And as always, we're cutting through the noise to drive real results for you.